Today we're diving into Amen Science and building an air horn hit shape in Ableton Live 12 using resampling workflows. And I want you to think of this less like making a horn sample and more like designing an impact system. That's the mindset here. We're taking an Amen-derived source, treating it like a synth engine, and shaping it into a short, rude, mix-ready one-shot that can punch through a dense drum and bass arrangement. This is especially useful in rollers, jungle, darker dance floor, halftime switches, and neuralini sections where you need something that feels like a warning shot, a hype call, or a phrase marker. Not a cheesy preset brass stab, a real designed hit. Fast transient, barky midrange, controlled low end, and enough attitude to survive next to heavy drums and a reese. So let's build it step by step. First, find an Amen break or an Amen-derived loop and load it onto an audio track. We're not using it as a drum loop yet. We're using it as raw material. Search for a juicy transient, ideally a snare-heavy bite, a kick-snare combo, or even a noisy tail with some character in it. Those messy upper harmonics are what give the horn its air and its rude edge. Set up a short loop around that transient, maybe 1/8 note or 1/4 note, and isolate the best slice. If the timing is stable, don't overthink warp settings. Keep it as natural as possible. If the source is a little chaotic, that's fine. In fact, that grit can be useful later. If the audio is too unruly, another move is to drop it into simpler and classic mode on a MIDI track. That gives you cleaner transient control and makes it easier to shape the start and end of the hit. The important thing is to find a source with bite, not just tone. A pure sine or a clean brass sample won't give you the same drum and bass attitude. We want noise, edge, and motion. Now let's start shaping. Put a basic audio chain on the track. A solid starting point is EQ8, saturator, auto filter, compressor or glue compressor, and then maybe drum bus or redux if you want extra grit. This is where the sound starts losing its drum identity and gaining horn identity. With EQ8, high pass the low end pretty aggressively. Start around 90 to 140 Hz depending on the source. If the hit is muddy, go higher. Then add a small, focused boost somewhere in the midrange, usually around 900 Hz to 2.5 kHz. That's where the bark lives. That's where the ear starts believing this is a horn-like impact rather than just an edited drum slice. Next, drive it with saturator. Keep it moderate at first, something like 3 to 8 dB of drive, and turn on soft clip if you want a thicker, safer edge. We're not trying to flatten it into a square wave yet. We just want to create harmonics so the hit feels louder and more aggressive. Then use auto filter to introduce motion. You can start with a band pass or low pass shape, depending on the character you want. For a more vocal, horn-like result, band pass is often great. Add some resonance, but not so much that it whistles uncontrollably. We want it to sound like a horn shape opening up, not a synth filter exercise. Now compress it. Fast attack, medium release, and aim for a few dB of gain reduction. The goal is to tighten the transient and pull the body forward so the hit feels like one focused event. If the source is too spiky, compression helps glue it together. If it's too soft, it helps bring the center of gravity forward. If you want more grime, add drum bus or redux carefully. Drum bus can give it a more aggressive smack without needing a ton of processing. Redux can add digital edge and a little bit of alias-like texture, which can be great in darker DNB. But be careful, too much of either, and the hit stops sounding punchy and starts sounding like noise. At this point, don't just listen in solo. This is important. Keep a drum and bass loop running. Put on some drums, a sub, maybe a reese, because sound design in this style is only useful if it works in the actual arrangement. A hit that sounds massive alone can disappear or get ugly in context. So check it against the real mix environment from the start. Now comes one of the most important parts of the whole workflow, resampling. Create a new audio track and set its input to resampling. Arm it. This is your print track. This is where you commit the sound to audio and stop pretending it's still a flexible preset. Trigger the source, move the filter, maybe ride the drive or cutoff by hand if you want some performance energy, and record the result in real time. This is where the workflow gets powerful. Once you resample, you're no longer dealing with abstract device settings. You've locked in the exact transient shape, harmonic distortion, and filter movement. That commitment is what gives the hit personality. After recording, zoom in and trim the cleanest single hit. Don't obsess over the tail yet. Sometimes the tail is the magic. Sometimes it's the ugly little bit that makes the hit feel alive. So trim tightly, but don't sterilize it. Now drag that resampled audio into simpler on a new MIDI track. If you have one great hit, use classic mode. set the start point so the transient lands immediately. Shorten decay and release until it feels punchy and playable. If you want a little vowel-like movement, add a touch of filter envelope. Keep the attack very fast, basically 0 to a few milliseconds, and keep the overall length short. We want a one-shot impact, not a sustained brass note. If you recorded multiple takes or variations, slice mode is useful. Slice by transient, trigger a few slices in quick succession, and then bounce the best moment back to audio. That can create a more jagged, jungle-style articulation. Now we start pushing the air horn identity. Use filter motion to create contrast. A good approach is a quick band pass sweep, from lower mids up into the presence range, something like 400 to 700 Hz rising toward 1.5 to 3 kHz. That upward movement gives the hit a vocal, horn-like contour. It feels like it's opening up and shouting. You can also try a low-pass opening move. Start it dull and let it brighten quickly. That can turn the hit into a kind of B-wah into ya shape. Very useful if you want a more aggressive, almost siren-like stab. A really nice trick is to map envelope follower subtly to filter cutoff. That way the amplitude of the hit opens the filter in response to the transient. It gives the sound a more organic, reactive feel. Not too much, just enough to make the hit breathe and bark a little. Now let's add controlled aggression. This is where you make sure the hit cuts through without turning into harsh mush. Use saturator, overdrive, redux, and utility as your main tools. Saturator gives harmonic thickness. Overdrive can make it more nasal and rude. Redux adds digital bite. Utility keeps the width under control. A good rule here is to keep the low end out of the horn entirely. If you want weight, create it separately. Don't try to make the horn itself huge in the sub range. In heavy DNB, clarity matters more than fake size. The sub can come from the bass line or from a separate sub hit layer if needed. For width, stay disciplined. Keep the core mono or close to mono, and only let the upper harmonic spread a little if necessary. If you make it too wide, it gets vague and loses punch. Utility is your friend here. Now here's where the resampling workflow really starts to shine. Make a second version with different processing. Maybe one pass is more saturated and more filtered. Maybe another is tighter and cleaner. Maybe another has a little extra room or gritty delay. Record each one to its own track. Give them labels so you actually compare them properly, like clean, grit, and space. This is a really important teaching point. Often the best version is not the wildest one. It's the one that sits best in the track. So compare them against your drums and bass. Check which one survives the busiest part of the arrangement without needing to be turned way up. The magic of multi-stage resampling is that each pass changes the harmonic fingerprint. You're not just stacking plugins, you're actually rebuilding the sound several times, each time with a slightly different attitude. That can produce a much more finished and unique hit than one endless chain of effects. Now let's place it musically. Set up a simple 8-bar loop with amen chops, a sub or reese bass line, and maybe a little atmosphere or vinyl texture. Put the horn in as a phrase tool, not just an effect. It should answer something. It should punctuate something. It should tell the listener that a new section is happening. For example, bars 1 through 4 can stay more restrained. Then bar 5 gets the first horn hit as a phrase answer. Bar 6 repeats it with a slightly different tail or pitch. Bar 7 pairs the horn with a drum fill and leaves a gap in the bass. Bar 8 resets the groove for the drop. That call and response structure is huge in jungle and drum and bass. The horn can answer a chopped amen fill, or it can answer a bass stop, or it can bridge a gap, where the drums momentarily drop out. Silence matters here too. A hard stop before or after the hit can make it feel much louder. Sometimes the empty space around the hit is what gives it the power. Now, a few common mistakes to watch for. First, too much low end. High pass it harder if needed. Second, don't oversaturate before the transient is shaped. If you distort too early, you can flatten the hit into a blob. Third, don't make it too wide. Keep the center solid. Fourth, don't leave a long reverb tail hanging around unless you really mean it. Fast DNB does not like smeared transients. And fifth, don't design it in solo and call it done. Always check it in the actual arrangement. If you want to go a little deeper, here are some advanced variations. Try pitch shifting the resampled hit by tiny amounts. Even 1 to 3 semitones can create a stacked, more aggressive phrase if you map several versions across adjacent MIDI notes. Try a fake formant sweep with two filters, one before distortion and one after, moving in opposite directions. That can make the hit feel like it's changing shape rather than simply opening up. You can also duplicate the resample, reverse it, and blend that reversed layer quietly before the main hit for a suction effect that can make the attack feel like it's being pulled into the drop. Another great move is sidechain distortion rather than just sidechain volume. Let the kick or snare influence drive, putoff, or bit reduction on the horns so the hit reacts more unpredictably to the groove. And if you want width, without losing punch, keep the center clean and add a lightly delayed or shifted high-frequency layer only on the sides.